Our text for this evening is found in the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, written, remember, by Solomon, and I believe written in his old age after he had repented of his sins and was once again trusting the God of his father David. Our text is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. I'm sorry, 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 8. Here is the word of God. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken, and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for our journey through the book of Ecclesiastes, and that you've brought us to the place where the important things are set before us in summary form, and the realities of life and death are made plain again. Please give us understanding, and help us not to find anything but godly fear here, that because of what we read and learn, we might grow holier in your sight and more faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a modern-day story I read in a book a few years ago about a young man who persuaded death, personified in the story, who persuaded death to loan him a cloak that would hide him from anyone, including death himself. But when he grew old, he found his life had become sad and lonely, and he found it was better to take off the cloak and go off with death as with a friend. Solomon is not urging us here to view death as a friend, of course not. Death is the curse man deserves for sin, but he is urging his readers to not die alone, to not hide from death, but rather cultivate a friendship not with death, but with the Creator, and in that way be able to die in the company of a dear friend, the best of friends. Men spend whole lifetimes avoiding death, speaking of death, and the thought of death. And rightly then, Solomon reminds us in chapter 11 and verse 9 that we will one day face God as our judge. But what if you could face God on friendlier terms? Yes, as a judge, but as a friend. Ah, here Solomon anticipates the coming of Christ at the end of the world, if only he knew that at the time. But God knew that when Solomon was inspired to write these words, and so he inspired these words in our text. It is a melancholy word for us that Solomon gives us in our text. It is not sparing in its description of the inevitability of old age and death and the vanity of life and death. But there is hope if you recognize that he holds out this possibility of friendship with our Creator, the one and true and living God. Now, Solomon basically makes 3 points here. I'm giving you 2 points. And the first one is that Solomon makes basically 3 points. And the second point will apply these 3 points. The first point Solomon makes is an exhortation to remember our Creator. Verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Now he spoke of the dangers of carelessness in youth before in chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. It is so easy to be caught up in life, to be so caught up in life that you will forget that you will die. It doesn't occur to you, well, I'm young, I'm not going to die, I'll live forever. That's the idea we carry with us when we're younger. Some people never lose that attitude, and so when death comes, they're shocked. Thus, Solomon brings up the main point to keep in mind when young. Remember, you're a creature made by God. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Do not let the joys of youth, and there are many, and Solomon wants us to enjoy them, but do not let the joys of youth drown out the remembrance of that truth, that before those days, and don't drown out the remembrance of the truth of your Creator before those days are replaced by other things, which he now gives attention to. And his second point, then, is to give a stark description of growing old. And this is not a pretty or comfortable picture. I want to focus on the images painted by the words in verses 3 through 5. Because you cannot stop the advance of age, which will one day lead to inactivity and final darkness. Let me read verses 2 through 5 to you. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the days that the watchmen of the house tremble, and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim, and the doors on the street are shut, as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the street. Now, he's giving a rapid-fire list in a very quick pace of images about growing old. He says you can't avoid growing old. You can't stop the advance of age, which leads to inactivity and final darkness. With age comes physical weakness. And here is where verses 3 through 5 tumble out of his mouth, as it were, one after another. And there's a commentator I like on Ecclesiastes, a theologian and commentator named Benjamin Shaw, who credibly suggests an interpretation of the images in verses 3 through 5. And I'm relying on his interpretation because it makes sense to my mind. Now, these are not the only possibility in interpreting these images. You can read other commentaries and come to other images that may well work as well. But I've chosen them because they give a possible fit to the view Solomon wants to give us of old age. They come from a commentator I trust and I respect and trust. Now look at verse 3. In the days the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim. The keepers of the house may refer to your body, and the keepers of the house may refer to the shoulders and torso. The man of strength here may refer to the legs or arms, and the grinders, those that grind, could be teeth. Those who look may be the eyes, or it could simply represent a manor house in decay, in which case the servants are presented as guards and more servants, and those looking out the windows would be the ladies of the house that dare not leave the house. In other words, the house is looked and is the place where the soul lives. Verse 4, and the doors on the street are shut up, as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. The doors are the ears of people. The sound of grinding could mean the loss of hearing or the loss of resources. Rising at the voice of a bird could represent the agitation of the elderly. You know, when there's a loud pop or a loud noise, they're suddenly shaken. The daughters of song singing softly may have a reference to hearing loss, because as you grow older, your hearing loses its ability to pick up sounds or hear clearly what's being said. The grinding, as a matter of fact, could refer to the teeth that are grinding as you grow older. And so verse 5 then, furthermore, men are afraid of high places and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the street. And again, the imagery, the references are to weaknesses and fears that come with old age. For example, the fear of falling when you're simply walking down the street. The white hair is represented by almond blossoms. This is one of the signs that youth is too quickly going away. You have a fear of falling. You begin to have white hair in place of even gray hair. The dragging of the grasshopper could refer to the limp or struggling gait of an aged man or woman, perhaps needing a walker or the arm of a younger caregiver. The caperberry, and this is a bit of adult material here, the caperberry was in that day an aphrodisiac. And this may represent the increasing bodily failure of the elderly, the loss of sexual desire. How about that? That's not something unique to our generation. But you see, what Solomon is trying to present in rather prose-like terms is the effects of growing old, as a reminder that we're all growing older. We're all losing our ability to act as we did and live as we did when we were younger. It's a stark view, I say, of the vanity of life in this fallen world. Stark reminders that death awaits us. Look at verse 6. Remember him who? The Creator. Remember the Creator before the silver cord is broken. The text there doesn't contain the words remember him, but he's picking up the words from verse 1. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. What you have here is the vanity of life in the fallen world. Picture that of a dilapidated old town. Tumbleweeds blow across the road in a ghost town like in the Old West. Everything is ready to collapse. If you have a golden bowl, you drop it, and it's crushed. The pitcher is shattered. The wheel at the cistern is crushed. The whole system is falling apart in the body. This is a real-life view that some hold in their own thoughts of old age, something they remember from the end of the life of their parents or grandparents, perhaps that when they resided in a nursing home. And the idea of growing weakness and a rapid loss of the use of your body and your muscles, and it can frighten us, and it should for this reason. In verse 7, the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. We must all appear before God to be judged, chapter 10, verse 9. It is a nightmare that has its roots in the lie of the serpent to Eve. Remember what he said to her, "You shall not surely die." Well, that was a lie, and God corrected that right away. Remember the curse in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19? By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And that was proven in the life of Adam's son, Seth, Genesis 5, 7, and 8. Seth lived 807 years after he became the father of Enosh, and he had other sons and daughters, so all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. The stark truth is that you will grow old, and you will die, and then you will face God's judgment. And that can and should be a terrifying thought. If you're not prepared, if you've forgotten your Creator in your youth, your middle, and your old age, it should terrify you if you're not prepared to meet your Maker. You will die. And the application of this somber view of age and death can give us hope. Solomon reminds us of what he may have forgotten in his youth, but now remembers in his old age in verse 8. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity, or the strict translation is vapor. A loving and gracious Creator created the world in perfect, pristine beauty, untarnished by sin. And He created man and woman and gave the world to them to enjoy and cultivate and live in forever. But Adam and Eve forgot their Creator and sought to be gods themselves, to their everlasting shame and sorrow. And the world became vain and empty and hard and cruel, and life became a journey from unlimited youth to decrepit old age and death. Read a good word in the commentator's commentary, decrepitude. That's what we're headed toward, brothers and sisters, in our old age, if we live long enough, to decrepitude. And God promised them that He would remedy the harm that would be done. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And the rest of the Bible tells of His incredible grace and love in the face of man's sinful ingratitude and treachery. From the time of the fall to the time of Christ, God so worked so that history would culminate in the birth, obedient life, suffering and death, then resurrection of His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in His word, the Creator calls each one of us to trust in Christ and be saved from His wrath and curse and be reconciled to Him as children. So when Solomon tells us in verse 1 of our text, remember your Creator, he's telling you three things that we can only understand through the gospel of Jesus Christ. First, that your Creator wants you to remember not only that He created you, but that He promised to send His seed, His Son, to save you from your sin. Secondly, your Creator wants you to know that He sent His Son out of love for you and your soul to die as a crucified young man, he was only 33, and then rise from the dead. And your Creator wants you to remember Him and then come to Him in faith, that He will receive you graciously, and that He will live eternally at peace with you. So old age does not have to be a terror to avoid, a horror to dread, or a shame to go through. The gospel teaches a better way. Start by remembering your Creator when you are young, or even when you are old. Acknowledge He is your Creator who wants to save you. Continue then by confessing your sin and your need of His gracious gift to His only begotten Son to be your Savior. Repent of your sin and trust in Him alone for salvation. Then as you do age, if He doesn't call you into His presence first, remember some do die young, keep close to Christ in all things. Seek His grace to age gracefully. Finally, it will all end in the moment when you close your eyes in death, and open them to see your Savior face to face with joy. It doesn't have to end badly, but it all does end. And everyone who dies finds that their faculties, even when their bodies begin to fail, their minds begin to fail. And that can be true for even the most resolute unbeliever. But Solomon warns us here, don't count on it. So as you begin, some of you with me, to see the close of your days drifting nearer, where will you place your hopes? In toughing it all out? in willing blindness to what sin has done to you? Or will you, in obedience to the infallible word of God here in our text, remember your Creator and remember him as one who so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son to live, suffer, and die, and be raised for your salvation, and therefore trust him? Have you done that? If so, rejoice in what might be your now fleeting youth and in your gracious Savior. Trust in him now. You're not guaranteed another moment of life. Trust in him. But if you are terrified of growing old, then do not stay in that horror of a condition. Remember your Creator while you still can, and either repent of your sin and trust in Jesus afresh, or perhaps for the first time. And then you will be able, by God's grace, to know the comfort and help of your Creator, even as you grow old. Oh, it is a wonderful thing to be on good speaking terms with your Creator. Trust him to help you when you're still young enough, and then continue to remember and trust him until the end of your days. Amen. Our Father and our God, old age is not something we like to think about. But you are faithful. Help us to trust in your faithfulness. And help us to be prepared to face what you have for us, knowing that you are our gracious Lord and God, our loving Father in heaven, and Jesus is a gracious Savior. Help us to trust you, even as we grow old. In Jesus' name, amen.